Singer Rosemary Clooney passed away in 2002, but she'll be back in spirit and song through the end of the year as the Cincinnati Playhouse presents Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical. Based on the life of the legendary singer who was born in Maysville, Kentucky, the show has been created by the team of Janet Yates Vogt and Mark Friedman, and they're here in the studio to talk about the show. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Hi, Rick.
It's great to be here.
Janet and Mark, who live in Greater Cincinnati, have developed a national reputation with musicals, especially for young audiences, based on works like Anne of Green Gables and How I Became a Pirate, as well as some original titles such as The Magical Adventures of Merlin and my favorite title, I'm sorry I haven't seen it yet, but Rapunzel, Rapunzel, A Very Hairy Tale. That's just a great title. I'd go, if that were in a marquee, I'd walk in and watch.
That's so great.
This show about Rosemary Clooney is something rather different. It's a more adult work, I imagine. And with Tenderly, you've put together a show that uses songs that Rosemary Clooney made famous. So let's talk about why the two of you undertook this. Janet, maybe you'd like to start.
Well, Mark and I have been longtime fans of Rosemary Clooney, and we each have our own memories of her. Mine, for instance, is I'm a piano player, and as a young girl, I would play Tenderly at the piano, and my father would sing it to my mother. And Mark, what about the parties at your family's house?
My family, all the cousins would get together on a Friday night, my parents and their cousins, and they would dance to 45s out in the backyard.
Bacha Me,
Rosie Clooney tunes, and it was just a fond memories of those days.
So what motivated you then beyond a fondness from nostalgic purposes to undertake this particular show?
Well, we both love Cincinnati history, and Rosie, of course, is a great part of that history. She's a local icon. Her whole family, Nick, with his broadcast career and his writing career for the Post when he was living in Cincinnati years ago. And, of course, their son, George, who shot the movie Ides of March here. But beyond that, she's always been a Cincinnati name, I think, for many, many years, at least just all my life being here.
We just love Cincinnati history. It's not the only musical we've done about Cincinnati figures. We have one in the works with Joe McDonough about George Remus, the famous king of the bootleggers, and we also have a piece we've written about Harriet Beecher Stowe, who lived here for 18 years when it was a border state, so it seemed like a natural fit for us.
It is a little different, though, because it's not your music. Usually you two create the music for the shows that you do.
Yes, Mark and I have a very unique writing relationship. We both write music, we both write lyrics, we both write the book. So many teams, one does one discipline or the other. So this really put our skills to test as the playwrights, because the music, as you said, is from the Great American Songbook, the songs that Rosemary Clooney made famous, all except from one original piece, which we did sneak in there.
Part of the challenge was to craft a script where the music would flow in and out of the writing. And it's remarkable how many of those songs she made famous really are
the songs of her life.
Mm-hmm. So they reflect periods and events in her life. And
absolutely.
Very much so. For instance, when she meets and falls in love with Jose Farrar, you'll hear Tenderly. When she meets Dante Palio, who she ended up marrying eventually, you'll hear Bacha Me. The songs just seem to fit perfectly.
Let's talk a little bit more about how you tell this story on stage. You have a big cast of characters. You just don't have a lot of actors doing them. So talk a little bit about that.
There are two characters, Rosemary and her doctor. And many people don't know this, but Rosemary was present at the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. And she had had a lot of challenges with drugs, and it was sort of her breaking point. And she actually lost touch with reality and eventually had to be committed. Well, actually, she committed herself into
Absolutely.
The hospital.
And all of this is clearly outlined in her two books that she's written, two of the books and two of the source materials that we used for the writing of the script. But she had no bones about it. She'd tell everybody about it. And I think it's information that the common person who may just love White Christmas doesn't really know about. And so we think that it's kind of a neat context to tell the story. And we want to make sure, too, that they understood the troubles and the trials she had throughout her life, but that she reinvented herself and came up on top.
So there is an actor who plays the doctor, but there are other people in the story.
Right. The doctor actually becomes other characters. As we say in the first rule of playwriting is don't tell, show. And so rather than hearing her talk about her mother, for instance, the doctor will become the voice of the mother, and you'll see a conversation replay, her conversations with Jose Farrar or her sister Betty, and you'll see the people in her life come alive. And it's really interesting how seamlessly it flows and how you just don't even think of the doctor as the doctor for those brief moments in those scenes.
And then you turn around and he's suddenly in the chair again talking to her. It's as if in his therapy with her, in her mind, she's reliving the moment. And through the doctor, through the words and the voice of the doctor. So it's pretty unique and interesting.
Well, this means you've created interesting acting challenges for two performers. One has to recreate Rosemary, and the other has to be a whole lot of different people. You want to talk a little bit about the actors who are in the Playhouse production?
We have two marvelous actors. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, we're so grateful. Our Rosemary is Susan Hafner, and we went to New York with the Playhouse staff and auditioned and looked at many wonderful actors. And she definitely came out as the forefront.
And our doctor is played by Michael Morata, who was a wonderful actor, also from New York. His ability to go between characters is just marvelous. Local theatergoers might remember him from the Playhouse's recent production of Cabaret.
He played Herr Schultz in that. And he was wonderful in that. So that's another aspect of this to look forward to. I want to ask you, you mentioned, Janet, your particular affection for the song Tenderly with some family elements to it, but you've also used this as the title of your show. You want to talk a little bit about why that song? Because there's about 16, 17 songs in the show. You probably could have used, you know, many of those titles. So why Tenderly?
Well, we really felt like we wanted to treat the story of Rosemary with great tenderness. And she herself was a warm, inviting, tender person. And we felt the title really paid tribute to her.
And there isn't a person that we talked to in doing our research, friends in Maysville, relatives, family.
Chance meetings.
That didn't love her and love her personality and speak of her with tenderness.
The show has a bit of a past, and a not-too-distant past, and not-too-distant distance from Cincinnati. It started with a workshop at Dayton's Human Race Theater Company back in 2010, and then was given its stage premiere at Dayton's Victoria Theater 2 years later. The production has evolved since then. Could you talk a little bit about what is different about it now?
We originally did the show in a workshop format at the Human Race Theater in Dayton. It was in its beginning stages and began to evolve, and scenes were written and rewritten and so forth. But it was a one-act show, one-act musical. When we took it from there about a year or so later to the Victoria stage in Dayton, same company, Human Race Theater, it stayed a one-act. We had made significant changes in it, but it stayed a one-act. And then when we brought it to Cincinnati, we expanded the show into two acts. So we went from 12 songs to 17 songs. So there's a lot more music in the show now.
You're working closely with Blake Robison, who's the artistic director at the Playhouse. In fact, he's directing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that part of your process has been to continue to refine it conjunction with Blake and with the actors. You want to tell us anything more about that?
It's been a wonderful collaborative experience. Actually, I was surprised how much tweaking and rewriting we're doing. And it's because it all really kind of starts at the top, as they say. And he's very inviting. He has a way of saying things that let you know his eye is on the work and his ear is on the work. And it makes you want to look at your work and continually refine it. And everybody keeps raising the bar on it, including actors, Mark, me, everyone.
And when you see the show start to take shape with the actors reading their lines and so forth, you begin to see, well, what's working? This isn't working. Maybe we need to change that. Maybe we need this scene to be tweaked. And it's just been a marvelous collaborative experience.
That means it just keeps getting better and better, I presume.
Well, that's our hope. That's our goal.
I think that the last thing that I wanted to ask you about was, you mentioned earlier a little bit about the Clooney family. Did they play a part in helping you develop the show?
When we started our research about Rosemary, we, of course, wanted to go to Maysville and really explore her roots. We were fortunate to meet Mike Thomas, the producing artistic director at the Maysville Opera House, who was a very, very close friend of hers. And he gave us wonderful stories and anecdotes. And he also introduced us to Ben Breslin, her cousin, and we went to visit him. And so we started to meet people who knew her personally. We did not meet Nick and Nina Clooney till the premiere at the Dayton Theater, and they were very gracious and lovely.
And extremely supportive, of our work, and very grateful that we were bringing the name of Rosemary Clooney back into the public eye again.
I suspect if all of you out there listening wish that you could meet Rosemary Clooney, that you might be able to fulfill that wish by going to the Playhouse now through the end of the year. The show opens this Thursday and will continue through the holidays until December the 28th. You'll find more information at wvxu.org. My guests this evening have been theatrical partners Mark Friedman and Janet Vogt, along with the spirit of Rosemary Clooney. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Rick.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
The show was kissed by sea and mist tenderly. I can't forget how two hearts met breathlessly. Your arms open.